Okay, let's pray and then we'll jump in this. Father Yahweh, we glorify you and we just thank you for your presence as always. And we lift you up for all that you're doing in our lives. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight. And we just bless you in advance for it. And we thank you for all the things that you do once again. We praise you in the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Okay. Alrighty, we're gonna come from Hebrews 11, verse 1. One will start there, and we'll look at some other examples of this. And we'll just kind of move as y'all lead us to do it. Hebrews 11 and 1. I don't know, every time I drink something cold, it's like I get my throat get hoarse or something for some reason. So I guess I'm at that age now where I can't drink cold water or cold stuff too much. Yeah. You followed me. Yeah. Huh? Well, that's the only thing I figured it is because it used to didn't bother me, but it's like I can't drink cold stuff now. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, just kind of review a little bit. What is faith?
Trusting in Yah.
Okay. What does it mean to trust in Yah? Okay, believing. True. All those are true. What does it mean when you believe? What does it mean? I can't explain. What if someone who never really fully understood what trust is? I got trust issues.
Fully depend on him. Kind of like how a newborn baby fully depend on the parent.
I agree. I'm still looking for more information.
to know he's going to do something before it happens.
Okay. To know he's going to do something before it happens. See, because you can believe. The scripture says that the devils believe and tremble. And so in order to explain it and get people to understand it, it has to be to the point to where the hearer can gather that information and actually apply it. So that's why I kept paying. I was like, okay, yeah, believing is true. But, you know, we believe in a lot of things. But when it comes down to believing from the perspective of faith, it puts us in a different frame of mind because, as Mama Co says, it's beyond just believing, but you have assurance in that even before it happened. You know, so I can believe in my brother based upon some things he's done. But when it comes down to Yah, my faith or belief is in him. He don't have to show up. He hasn't done anything, but yet my assurance is knowing that he is the God that, matter of fact, we need to look up that verse, cause find Calum 1000 he is, because I've been saying it so much, it's just I haven't shown it yet. Right. You know, so with him being the God of Calum 1000 hills, you know, I don't see the cow. I don't see the hill. But yet my assurance is that he can do exactly what he says he can do. That's faith. And so yes, it is believing. It is, yes.
Could you repeat that, what you just said?
About the Calum 1000 hill?
That last thing you said about, I can't remember what it
okay. was. Okay. Okay, so let me see if, so I say in a nutshell, he is the God who has the cow. He is the God who has the heel. It's just that we have to.
You can see it or not.
You have to be sure that whether you can see the calla or the whether you know, even if you can't see the calla or the heel, you have to be sure that you serve a God who actually has what he said. He said that. So since he said that, then my only frame of reference is to believe what he said. Because in using my faith, I don't have no other proof. That's my proof. Go ahead.
That's what I was trying to get. You said believe what he said.
Right.
I think a lot of times we have faith. We say we have faith, but it's not based on what he said. It's based on what we want.
What we want, that's good. That's a good example. What we want or what we believe. Well, I just believe it's going to be this way for me. You know, and what it boils down to is what has he said, and that's why I wanted to go back here and look at these examples. So he said, Elder pointed out, you got it now? Okay, that's okay. And so, he said he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I ain't going around confessing that and believing that based upon my own opinion or that's something I desire. So I'm going to say, my God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Well, how you know? Because that's what I said. That's what I believe. You know, because all of us believe in certain things, you know, and that's where I get people, I've been having a lot of dialogue with people on social media in one form or another. And one of the things that they have grown accustomed to is having an opinion about Yah based upon their own desire or their own belief. I'm glad you brought that up as a good example. On their own desire and own belief. And so when they say that, I immediately respond with, where is that written? One example I wrote here recently, put on Facebook, they was talking about, the Antichrist and things like that. And so they were saying,
he said the Antichrist will be loved by all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the lady said. She was like, well, let me put mine in and kind of educate you, but I don't believe that's happened yet. And then, the Antichrist will be loved by all. I was like, where is that written? Silence. Because people have a tendency, as I mentioned, to create Yah in their own image. And so they make these comments, cleanliness next to godliness. Yeah, you do want to be clean, but that ain't in the book. That's not in the book. And so what we have to do is to learn to have assurance. What did you say, Delon? Treat it like a baby, complete trust like a baby. Is that what you said? Denise, you said believe. And Mumko, what was that you said?
To know that he's going to do something before it happens.
Before it happens. So all those things fall into play when we are able to prove what he said. What did he say? What he said I can now stand on, and I can put my complete trust in it. I can have assurance in it because I got a guarantee. You said this. I didn't.
Uh-huh. How do you apply that to your life in that, like I was saying, it's things that you want and you believe, you having faith that you're going to do it?
Okay. He ain't saying it, though.
But okay, so. But you believe he said it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Yah spoke to me and okay. He said blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so here's how you gauge that then. If Yah said, or I'm going to say since he said, you believe that he said it, you believe that he said blah, blah, blah. Since you believe that he said it, then stand up on that. It don't matter how it look. What I believe, that's why I make the statement. I'll be like, okay, if I believe that Yah is saying to me, jump off the bridge, I'm jumping. I'm jumping, and he got to speak to me because if I think I'm hearing something, I'm going to do exactly what I think I'm hearing. And so he has to communicate, he has to communicate with us because that trust is there and we're depending completely on him. And so to answer your question, if you believe that's what he said in all your heart, that he spoke things to you, it's going to happen exactly the way that he said it's going to happen. Now, if it doesn't, then you need to come to the conclusion you said, was I hearing things?
So, my other question is, what if we waver in our belief of what he said? does that cause it not to happen too?
Well, when you look at the example that I use in this lesson, as far as Daniel is concerned, it took him 21 days. So, not saying that he was wavering.
Yeah, he didn't waver.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying it just because it takes a period of time, you know, it depends. And so, when you look at James 1?
So to answer the question, because it may take a while to restore the weight, just because
we have to be careful with that. But at the same time, I understand what he's saying too.
So I want to
address what he's saying.
Stand in faith and it take a long time, and you not wavering. It just take a long time because that's the process that y'all want. Mm-hmm. But my question is,
here's the answer:
if we waver in our faith, can we make it not happen?
Right. Is it James 2?
I guess that goes back to the double-minded man.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find. Let me see. Probably spelled it wrong. Yep. I think it's together.
Can I give an example?
Yes, go ahead.
So when I was taking care of my brother, I was up there at the hospital with him for a whole month, 90 days.
Uh-huh.
And one time I came home to get more clothes or whatever, my nephew was up there with him, and one of my plants hadn't had any water for however long it was, and his little leaves was just hanging over the side of the pot. I watered it as soon as I got there, and by the time I got ready to leave, they were starting to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe y'all spoke to me and said, and I got to cry. He said, just like I restored that plant when it looked like it was dying, I'm going to do the same thing for your brother. I wasn't asking him anything. That's what just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that to a fault. I believe that no matter what the doctors were saying,
mm-hmm.
I believe that. So when the doctors told us he had 48 hours to live, call everybody, I went in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up to the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And I reminded y'all of what he had said to me. And I said, I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care how this looks. I know what you said to me. And I'm standing on what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived for 12 years.
So as you was talking, I wanted to look at the word restore from the Hebrew. Yah says in Joel 2:25, and I will restore the years. So when you look at the restore, it means shalom. It says to be safe in mind, body, or estate. So when you look at, because I know the story a little bit more than other people, when you look at his body, mind, and estate, where he was before you got him, it was in a state, although it may not have been as easily understood or known. There's probably a lot of stress and a lot of things going on with him from being in the circumstance that he was in until you got him, and from you getting him, that restoration that y'all was talking about was restoring his, as the definition defined, making him feeling safe in his mind, knowing that there were things he didn't have to be worried about, safe as far as body was concerned, and as far as his estate was concerned. Y'all restored that to where if it hadn't went along the path by which it ended up being, he probably would have been dead a long time ago. And so that restoration, as we were talking about earlier, we have a certain mindset what restore means. You know, we think restore, okay, he's going to get up, be moving around, going to be high-fiving us and everything. Now, y'all are saying, no, you don't understand what I'm saying as far as restoring is concerned. There is a lot of stress going on with him physically and mentally and socially and all these things. And I'm going to fix it where he don't have that kind of stress again. He hadn't always been that way. but there's some circumstance going on now that has him in that position. And how y'all, someone restore that. Go ahead.
How do you not have that misunderstanding? Or is it just something that, I mean, you know, obviously if y'all say something, you still don't even believe it, but just like in that circumstance, you can misinterpret what he said. Not that he ain't gonna do what he said, and not that you don't stand on it, mm-hmm. but your expectation. So how do you not do that misinterpretation, or is it just something that comes with experience, or is it something where you just don't set any parameters on it? How does that work?
I don't set any parameters on it. And just go ahead before I answer him completely.
So I thought that meant he was gonna get up and, like you said, walking around, we're gonna go to Walmart, drink some lemonade, and have a happy life. Mm-hmm. And when I said that to other family members that God was gonna restore him, that's what they were thinking. So when that didn't happen, their interpretation of it was, well, he didn't get restored. Mm-hmm. But I learned over the course of time that restore didn't mean that. Mm-hmm. It meant some other things. Mm-hmm. And one of the times that I took him back to the hospital, he literally died. I feel like he died because he was just laying there and his eyes were all back. And he just fell over, you know, slumped over. I think he was gone. And the doctors were rushing around and they asked me to leave. I said, I'm not leaving. Because again, I knew what God had spoken to me, mm-hmm. that he was gonna restore it. So I'm standing there and they're just rushing all around, getting ready to intubate him. And all of a sudden, just like that happened, and his eyes rolled back and he slumped over. It's like breath was breathed back into him. With no assistance from the doctors, his breath just came back in him, mm-hmm. and he opened his eyes and he was back. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I thought, if that's not restoring, along with all other methods of restoring, then what is? It was just not the restoration I was looking for, but it was restoration. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, how do you know? Mm-hmm. When we dealt with the word restore, what did I do? I went to his word to understand what restore was from his perspective. Because like I said, when I hear restore, I'm thinking the same thing. Walking and talking and high-fiving and everything is fine. But y'all was like, okay, you look up the word restore in from my mindset. And you know it goes beyond just all the things from our understanding of what the word restore is. So we have to see restore from his mindset. And at the same time, you know, as you had mentioned on the end, be open-minded to let y'all restore however the way you want to do it. If you want to restore it from, right. Yeah. If you want to restore just the way that he did, way y'all did restore, that's fine. But if you want to get him up and walking and all that, I'm fine. There's no limitation on your restore because, again, as you on those calories, you can do anything. And since you can do anything, I'm not going to limit you with my frame of thinking. So whichever way you want to restore and how you want to do it, I understand what it means, and I'm able to see that process and give the testimony and say, well, yeah, he did get restored, and this is how y'all restored him. So that's how we do it. We got the word from Yah, his version of restore. That's what it is. Yah restored him fully. That's what he did. From his perspective, not ours, you know. And yeah, we know he could have got him up to walk and done all the things that, but that wasn't the process by which he wanted to take. He wanted to restore him the way that he did, and he actually did. Okay, you had something? Yeah. No, go ahead. I can do it now and come back to James 1 because I got James 1 and all it up.
Psalms 50 started verse 7. Okay, but it's actually verse 10.
Okay. Psalms 50, verse 7, it says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. That's to this people, and I will testify against thee. I am Yah, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle up on a thousand hills. He's letting you know everything belongs. I don't need nothing from you. I already own it all. So it's not something you have to do to please me. When it comes down to it, I'm just requiring you to be obedient. I own everything that you're bringing to me. Anyway, you know. And so that's what the scripture comes where he owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's letting you know the cattle up on a thousand hills is mine. In other words, all that you see in the earth is mine. I'm just saying a thousand hills to give you an ideal of how great my possessions are. As y'all.
You read all the way to 12.
Okay. I know all the fowls of the mountains. That's good. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And see, that's what Psalms 24:1 always come in. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That's why we quote it. And so when you look at that, I mean, verse 12 is all, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. And he's saying, when you see that, he's saying that there's a colon there. He said, if I'm hungry, I don't have to tell you. I own it all. That's what he's saying. I don't have to tell you nothing because I own it, everything. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Everything is mine. Psalms 21 confirms it. Again, 24:1, it's a Psalm of David. It said, the earth is the Lord's, is Yah, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Just like he said in Psalms 50. It's all his. And so with that in mind, that is who we live for. And so we put our trust in what he said. He said it all belonged to him. And since it all belonged to him, when we have need of something that belongs to him, he's well able to meet our need in that area. Now, Elder pointed out about, okay, how can we hinder that? Yeah, we can. Because I'll start at verse 5. It says, that's James 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah. Now, let's look at what wisdom is. It says, wisdom, it says spiritual, higher, lower, but you get it from, you go back to 40. It says wise. I just want to make sure that we get everything out of that word. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah, to give it to all men liberally. And abrade it not, and it shall be given him. Y'all don't ever hold back when we seek him for wisdom. When we seek instruction, he's not going to hold back. And so when you look at the word liberally, when you look at the word, what is it? Liberally, it means bountifully. Y'all always he always given information. He never hold back. He never hold back the information. But then it goes on and says, you pointed out, this is the process now. It says, he abraded not, and it shall be given to him. Abraded, I believe it means that he don't hold back. You said something?
No, I said it right. That's right.
Okay. Defame, rail, chide, taunt. In other words, he don't play with us on it. He give it to us. Then it says, but let him ask in faith. What is faith now? Assurance. Belief. Trust, like a child. Being able to believe Yah when you have no evidence. When you ask that in faith, okay? Not wavering. What is wavering now? You look at wavering, it says to withdraw from. To doubt. See the word at the bottom? To doubt. Hesitant. All those things. He said when you ask, not wavering, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth, doubt, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yah. Yah said, I can't do nothing. That's why the scripture said that Christ could do no miracles because of unbelief. Wasn't that he couldn't do it. It's just that because they were wavering, their lack of faith in what he was capable of doing, he just didn't make the effort to do anything. He could have still done something, but he just made an effort not to do it because of their unbelief. Well, y'all is the same way. If one minute we're saying, I trust you, y'all, and then the next minute we say, oh, Lord, you're going to like, man, I can't do this. I can't do nothing. And this is why he lets us know. Verse 8, he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it lets us know that when our mental disposition is in doubt and then believing one minute and doubting the next minute, y'all say that's unstable. And that points out being unstable in all our ways.
Ain't that like worried about it too much? About the problem?
Yeah, I mean, you worry is a sign of doubt and unbelief. Because when we're worrying, you know, here's another scripture now. yep, Matthew 6 says this just to show that's in harmony with the scripture. Matthew 6 says, Matthew 6, verse 25, says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's worry. What shall ye eat or what shall ye drink? Nor yet for your body. What shall ye put on? Is not life more important than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, worrying about it, can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, I used to be 6'4". You know, I used to be like, man, if I could be 6'4", 6'5", I could be in the NBA. He said, nope, you'd be a tall preacher. That's what he told me. You just be a tall preacher. It's not going to change nothing, you know. And so it says, how many have grown 2 inches by worrying about it? How many of us have paid a bill by worrying about it? Sitting there saying, oh, I'm going to just worry this bill to be paid. Now, it doesn't work.
That's why back in the day, like when I wasn't working, mm-hmm. Mom used to call me and say, can I send you some money? I said, no, Mom, don't worry about that. You know, that's my problem. She said, are you worried about your bill? I said, not really. I said, word ain't going to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know God made a way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, anybody want to say, okay. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if y'all so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What is that little faith? Wavering. One minute we believing, next minute we not. He said, oh, that's little faith. When you believing and then you not, don't expect to get no clothes if you believing and then don't expect to eat. Don't expect things to get done if you believing one day and then the next day you not. He said, that's little faith. Hebrews 11:6, though, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Okay, James 1:6, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything from Yah. Yah said, I can't do nothing when we like these examples here. You got something?
Yeah, I want to go back to verse 6 on James 1.
Uh-huh.
Middle of the screen. So I have a question.
Okay.
So more of a comment. So it's kind of like this. So what we've talked about up until this point about faith is believing God for what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see in verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith. So my question is, it sounds like from that verse, like with that assurance, you can go to Yah and ask him something. The faith part comes in whatever he answered, but this is saying, you got to go to him with that assurance.
Go back to verse 5, and it'll tell you. What did verse 5 say?
If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah.
That's the asking in faith. So so here's what Yah says to me. I put this bill in your hand, and I give you vision to carry it out. I didn't know what the vision was to carry out. If any man lack wisdom, Let him ask in faith. So I was like, okay, y'all, give me the wisdom to put everything in there that you've implemented so that I can carry out the task. You know, when I say I'm talking about we, can carry out the task that you've given or you've spoken to me that I got faith in. So that wisdom part is in, I mean, that faith part in this part of the lesson is having asking faith when it comes down to wisdom on knowing what to do. And at the same time, you have faith in Yah instructing us on what to do. So when I lack wisdom, that's why a lot of times we have conversations or y'all hear me have conversations about things. I say, okay, I see some things that we can do, but let me go seek Yah for wisdom. You know, I know he said he's going to finish our project, but it's just the process by which he want to do it. And let me ask for wisdom to show me which direction to go as far as this particular thing is concerned. So that's how you look at it as far as verse 6 is concerned. You add verse 5 because he starts out talking about the wisdom portion of it. And then he goes into verse 6. Let him, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Then verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. Ask for wisdom and have a confidence enough to know he's speaking to you in that wisdom to operate in and do what needs to be done. Okay? So I'm going to say extension. All of it is faith, but there's a faith that you ask Yah for, there's a wisdom that you ask Yah for in faith, and you got to know when he's leading, guiding, that's him. I'm going to do what he's leading and guiding me to do. I know what he's saying.
So basically, because he made that declaration in 5, that's a declaration of something that he said, we can have the faith to go to him based on what he said with and the expectation that he's going to give us the wisdom that he already declared that he would.
Because the wisdom itself, the wisdom that he gives is from him. It's a word from him. Right. So that's why I said still faith attached. I have faith in him instructing me. I have faith in him giving me wisdom. That's instruction. Giving me wisdom to know what to do. So anytime we look at faith, faith is still instruction from Yah. Bottom line. If I need wisdom, that's instruction from Yah. If he said something that I didn't ask wisdom from, that's still faith and instruction from Yah. It's all faith. Yes.
So like you always say, he slide in around mine.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to them in faith, whatever it is that we desire, he can slide in on us and let us know. And once that happens, it's a done deal.
That's it. When you get that word, matter of fact, Dan and I was talking about that a little bit earlier. I say it this way: whenever Yah is not, you know, I always say when I set the tape, I need to see Yah. When he's not at the table, I feel vexed. And what I mean by that's a word that I use. It's like I'm real nervous. It's like I get real uneasy. Well, Deanna said red light. She said, "Boy, I go seeing red." I see, you know. And so both examples are examples that's the gaze that y'all said, something not right with that. And then there's another gaze that I use when I sit at the table and I say, I see Yah, it's not the actual sin. It's that the thing that's going on in my mental state is peace, is calmness. It is something that Yah is guiding in wisdom to say, it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead, baby. You know, jump. I'm going to catch you. It's okay. And so that those are the gauges by which I use to determine if Yah is leading and guiding and giving me wisdom on things. There are some things I feel a vexation about, and I'll be like, no, Yah not there. Okay, let me seek wisdom from Yah on this particular thing. And then once I do, it's like that peace come over. Once that peace come over, I'll be like, that's it. Once I get that word from him like that, I latch on to it. And it's full steam ahead from that point on. That's how we have to live and walk by faith. Now look what he says. I'm glad you mentioned James 1 again. Look what he says now. He says verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask me. He said, ask me. And I'm not gonna hold back. I'm going to always give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you plenty of it, bountifully. I'm never holding back. So that's why I make the statement when I be like, okay, I don't know how to do a lot of things, but I can do anything. Because I know the wisdom of Yah. Yah has the wisdom on all things. And if it comes to the point where I need that wisdom, I go to Yah in faith, and Yah gives it. He's not going to hold back. You know, that's why sometimes other than I talk about some stuff, be like, man, how do you come up with all that stuff? I'll be like, I can't even tell you. It's stuff I was doing today, and I was going in there, you know, putting information and stuff and all this here of things I set up years ago, and I'm sitting there saying, I don't even remember how I did this. I don't remember how I set it up. But at the time, when that wisdom was needed, y'all gave it. I still know how to access it now to make changes and stuff like that, but I can't tell you how I came across that information to even know to do it in the first place. But I can tell you, it was Yah. It was the wisdom of Yah. But I'm saying, apart from that, I didn't have a clue. And so that's what that is saying. Yah never holds back. He gives us whatever we need in order to operate in that wisdom. And now as we continue on at Matthew 6, and I'm going to get out of it, it says, in verse 31, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know what he's saying in verse 32? These Gentiles seek these things because they don't know me. And they don't know that I know they need it. He said, but you're not that way. You're the opposite of that. Because you know me. You should know that I clothe you and take care of you and I provide for you. So all your responsibility should be, or your thought process should be, is verse 34, 33. I'm going to seek him first in his righteousness. He add all things to me. My job is easy. All I got to do is keep my faith in him, my assurance in him, seek him, keep my mind focused on him, and he add all things that's needed. We got an easy job. Okay. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I got enough drama to deal with today than to be concerned about the drama tomorrow. I'll deal with tomorrow drama when it get there. When I get to tomorrow. You know, DNA, you see all the time. We ate today. We fine. I'm not worrying about tomorrow. We was going through those days. She said, we ate today. And when tomorrow came, we ate that day. And we kept eating. Y'all was doing it so well, we was getting overweight. You know? And so he can do it. He can do it. Okay?
How do you undo years of operating in a system that teaches contrary to that? Like your whole life, you've been taught the opposite of that.
It takes teaching it, and then the transformation of the mind. The mind actually adjusting to what we're talking about now. You know, like we was talking about, man, I envy Yahshua, you know. Right. He's born into this. What would it have been like if I had been born into what I know? You know.
So this is the kind of stuff where the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed.
By renewing Romans 12. You know, Romans 12, 1 through 3.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the kind of stuff that's talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Because
and that deals with faith, too.
Clearly, the mindset is different than everything that goes on in society and the way it works.
Mm-hmm. This is what he quoted in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Yah, which you're reading the service.
That statement speaks volumes too, because mm-hmm. Yah brought that to me early, right? It's like that living sacrifice is just what we've been dealing with. Like you can't go on the assumption of what you want to do, how you want to do it, all that. That living sacrifice is, okay, I'm killing all of that, and I'm just going to hear what you got to say and do what you got to say. And he's saying here, that's just your reasonable service. That ain't even like you get reward for that. That's just like, that's the bare minimum.
Yep. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're doing. we're renewing the mind. You know, mine started to renew back, what was that, in 2000, where y'all was like, you're not going this way. I was like, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. Sit here. Do not move. He started the transformation of the mind then. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yah has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All of his faith. So that transformation of mind take place according to me having assurance and trusting in the things that I'm hearing and making those adjustments. So when I read about, or when we read about all the things we've just looked at, Matthew 6 and James 1 and all these different things, that is adding measures of faith to us. Now, the measure is not that it's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting consistent. Because hearing these things make us not waver. So each time I hear information that gives me assurance in Yah, it just makes me stronger in my ability not to waver. Stronger in your ability not to waver. Thus, he's adding measures of faith to our walk. Because we're understanding that the mind is being transformed. Okay. We'll get out of James 1 if we don't have anything else in there. We'll go back to Hebrews 11 and we'll finish up. And so as you see all these different examples, you'll see them operating by faith. For by it, verse 2, for by faith or assurance, the elder obtained a good report. Through faith, through assurance, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yah. We weren't there, but we are sure of it. We have assurance in Yah in that he did what he said that he did, Genesis 1. That's why I tell anybody, I don't care what you say. I know the world, the earth is dry, which is dry ground. I know it's flat, and we live in a dome because Yah said it in Genesis 1. I have full assurance in that. You can talk about this ball and this globe all you want to. I know what Yah said. That's what my assurance is. Through faith, we understand the world was framed by the word of Yah, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Yah testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. You know, his blood cried out when he was murdered. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yah has translated them. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Yah. Without faith is impossible to please him. Verse 6, that's why it says it. But without faith is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All these people that we're reading about, our ancestors, were diligent in seeking Yah because they had assurance in what he said. And Yah did everything he told. Verse 7, by faith, Noah being warned, Yah speaking, being warned of Yah of the things not seen yet. He hadn't seen the rain. But he started building that ark because Yah said it. Everybody laughing at him, but this man crazy out here. What is rain? What are you talking about? Flood coming. Animals getting on the thing. They still saying, man, he crazy. Look at it, rounding up all the animals like he's something wrong with it. Nor move, not seeing no signs of rain. And he didn't build that ark overnight, by the way. Yeah, it took a couple hundred years. It took him a while. I'm trying to remember those years. I think it was a couple of hundred years. It wasn't just like it was no 20-year deal or something like that. No, it took him a while. They were laughing at Noah for a minute. Come back and smell me. 120. I know it's somewhere up in there. I said a couple of hundred, but 120. Think 120 years you building on something. Folks saying, hey, why you gonna get that to the ocean, boy? And Noah's just still doing it. Now let's take ourselves and put us in Noah's shoes. People looking at us for 12 years. Hey, y'all got that building 12 years ago and you still not in it. Just keep on building. So we got a word. We're standing on the word of Yah, not the words of the people, because if we were standing on the words of the people, we'd stopped a long time ago. Okay? By faith, verse 7, Noah being warned of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't have a clue. He just going. Yes.
It's like this kind of faith, because they didn't have a Bible to go by. So when he was out there building, day after day, it's almost like it's a drive there that God gives you mm-hmm. to know that you can't quit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep moving
mm-hmm.
because he didn't have any examples.
Right. That's it. That's why I always make the statement. I'd be like, okay, quitting is not an option. It's just not. It's just not there. And, and these are examples to allow us to know. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is Yah. Looked for not even knowing where it was and couldn't see it. Yet he was looking. You can look at the example of Sarah. She received. She was so old, she couldn't have no kids. When Yah gave the word, she said, I didn't laugh. He said, yeah, you did. But I'm telling you, this time such and such, you're gonna be with child. Even though she laughed, and she tried to pretend that she didn't, once Yah gave that word, she held on to it. And so you can look at all these different examples here. We can just go all the way down to the bottom and you can see the same example of them moving by faith, not having any evidence of what they were believing them for. And so that's what I love about verse chapter 12, and I'll stop here. It says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily besit us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yehoshua, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of Yah. And so when you look at verse 1, we have, as Mama Coach pointed out, they didn't have no witnesses, nor did they have no witnesses. We're able to look at our witnesses and see that this actually worked. And we can look at examples in each one of our lives and say, I remember when I really stood by faith here and it worked. All of us got testimonies of it. That's why David was so confident. I killed a lion and a bear. Shoot, this dude ain't nothing for me. That was faith. Okay. And so, that's where we are. And I just wanted to just share this information. Y'all was like, it's time. When you saw that, what was it, Saturday? When we was looking on the phones, vehicles was pulling up. Mm-hmm. Then, Friday, a vehicle pulled up, mm-hmm. Put up on the property. Alex took a picture of him and sent it to me. doing Sabbath service, you know, Elder and I was looking at our phones and somebody else pulled up on the property and things like that. But come to find out, City of Dallas. City of Dallas putting up on the property. Now, I got a phone call from a lady today, and she's like, Mr. Boss, there's a, oh no, she called me Pastor Boss. Pastor Boss, there are people who wanted to lease space in your property, and we want to work with you on getting them, you know. No, ma'am, we have a plan, and we're going to carry out our plan to perfection. We don't need y'all. We don't need y'all. We have what we need. We have y'all. We do not need y'all. If y'all want to put some funds towards this to follow the exact vision that we have, you're welcome to do so. Other than that, we are not expecting anything from you guys. I do not trust y'all. And so we just get it all out here in the air and just get a real good understanding. Well, okay then, we would like to support the project in some manner. Well, when you support it in the manner that y'all has given us, we can sit down and have a talk. We ain't promise you nothing. We ain't giving you nothing. You're going to have to walk this dog like the way we walking it. That's how I've been talking to these people. But what they showed me is what y'all said. As I was making a confession about y'all's going to do something, y'all said, let me show this boy I can. All I had to do was say, yeah. All I had to do was say, yeah. How much do you need to finish? $700,000. Okay, well, if you just work with us. If I'm going to work with y'all, I got to see y'all. And this is how y'all going to have to do it. You are following if you want to come into this project and aid us in some kind of way. You're not the lead or the equal or whatever. So no, we don't want to do business with you unless you do business our way. Our trust is in y'all. Sent me a map. I was entertained by the map. See here, Reverend Boss, we really want to help y'all with the project. We have y'all in the redevelopment portion of what the city is doing in Pleasant Grove. Sent the map. I sent you copies of it. Sent the map showing that straight up Buckner. They're redeveloping all the way from the golf course. They're redeveloping all the way up to Bruton Road, and they just jumped over the next street just for us. I had them to put your building in this part of the development because we just want to see that get finished. Let's just talk real talk. It was always a part of the development. You just realized you couldn't beat us. We were always, you're not doing us no favor. That was always in your map of development. You just now sending me a picture of it, and you're saying, okay, we're folding now. We see y'all moving without us, and we scared y'all going to complete it, and we not going to be able to get no credit whatsoever for what's being done. So we ready to sit down and talk. And y'all was just saying, boy, just keep faith. I got all kinds of stuff out there waiting. Keep walking by faith. So I said, we don't expect anything from you guys. And at this point, we don't want nothing from y'all. Unless you can walk the dog like the way we walking. That's how I put it. So it's there. All sorts of opportunities is there. And, you know, so we'll just see what y'all gonna do with one of his heels. Our responsibility is he gave us a word, we keep moving. And as we keep moving, watch things, what things manifest. Okay? You know, so he said it's time, and so I wanted to share that since that information was, you know, that event happened Friday and then Saturday and then they called the day. She said, "Ooh, Pastor Boy, I wasn't expecting to get rebuked." I said, yeah. I said, you know that old saying. I said, Lord, when the Lord love you, he'll do that. I said, I love you. That's what I told her. I said, I love you. That's why I rebuked her. So we have a good plan, and y'all going to have to fall in line with us. We're not falling in line with you. And so there's a lot of opportunities out there, and y'all just did that one example just to show that he does have resources that are available, and he's making people bow down and come back. It's just that they have to line up with what he's doing. They're still trying to figure out how to get their foothold in there some kind of way. Mm-mm. We trust y'all, not them. So that's it. Any questions, comments? We good? Father God, we just bless you for bringing us into an understanding of faith, giving us different perspectives on it, and teaching us how to walk in it fully. And we thank you for that. We know that we're living in a time frame where we need to be able to walk by faith the most. And we just bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.